Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us now to preview the game, talk about the Ravens right now, riding a three-game winning streak, Window Nation guest hotline, Fresh Take Sports, our buddy and yours, Cordell Woodland. Cordell, good morning. How you feeling?
What's up, guys? I'm good.
All right. Hey, man, look, a month ago, Zach Orr was the least favorite guy in Baltimore next to Mike Elias, it seemed, in the eyes of a lot of sports fans. But since the defense, four straight games, 20 less points, forced turnovers, I mean, how much praise should we give Zach Orr now for the brief turnaround? They're not dominant defense, but better. How much credit should Zach Orr get? Because he was taking all the blame when they were terrible early in the season.
Yeah, I think it's dependent on what was said. You know, if you were one of the guys that were trashing them, then you equally probably should deserve a little of the praise. I think we see some of the trickle down effects of the Gilman trade, guys getting healthier. Obviously, the Gilman trade by default moves Kyle Hamilton closer to the line of scrimmage. I think that's been the biggest change of them all. That Travis Jones looking like he's healthy. Those are just, and the fundamentals of just tackling, I think, have been the things that have spearheaded the turnaround for this defense. But, you know, I think when they were struggling, my feeling was, you know, there are a lot of hands in the pot. And I didn't feel like it was just Zach Orr that should be blamed. And that's kind of how I feel now. It shouldn't, you know, the defense has turned it around. Credit to everybody who has a hand in the pot, because they've let it be known multiple times that it is a joint effort on the defensive side of the ball. But no doubt the defense has turned it around. I think the factors that I mentioned help, and also the favorable schedule.
Cordell, you know who's, you know, you mentioned Travis Jones, who I think's been playing fabulous. I thought he played great, you know, on Sunday. Akoya's stepped his game up, too. He's playing much, like he's come out of nowhere from practice squad, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah, he has. You know, him and Travis Jones, they've helped kind of plug up what was a leaky run defense as well in the first half of the year. And Akoya has shown the ability to get after the quarterback at times. Mm-hmm. Obviously, this week we saw the whole defensive line kind of just turn into the Kembe Mutombo, and they're just batting down passes at the line of scrimmage. So, yeah, I mean, this with Madubuike going down and them not having a whole lot of depth behind him, and we're talking about Peebles being inactive, you know, that they have found a way to kind of get something out of these guys like Okoye, who have kind of come up from the practice squad and in most cases off the street.
Now, Cordell, you know, watching that film, the offensive line, to me, I mean, the Andrews touchdown drive, they blocked beautifully the whole drive. And it was just bam, bam, bam. They were making chunk runs. You know, and everybody was sustaining their blocks. They were coming off. And that was the only drive of the game. They just cannot do it consistently. Because then the next drive, they go minus two on the first one, and they all whiff. You know, and it's not just one guy. It's pick and choose and throw in their Ricard and throw in the receivers and throw in the tight ends. All of them are at fault.
Yeah, I mean, the drive you're talking about, this is in the fourth quarter,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, it was.
So it took until that point in the game for them to put together a pretty much perfect drive. I agree. I mean, that was a vintage Ravens drive. They just walked down the field. They got in the red zone. They finally ran a quarterback designed run in the red zone. I mean, where is that? That to me, because yet again, 2 for 5 in the red zone. I think that's a major issue, and that ties into the offensive line because you have to be able to push somebody off the line down there. They can't run the ball when they want to, in most cases at least, and that's really down in the red zone, and that's because they can't get a push. So I would love to see more of what we saw with that sweep with Lamar that almost scored. I mean, that was perfect. Where is that? Give me more of that, please. But, yeah, I mean, the offensive line is just – it is what it is. We're at week 11 right now. They are who they are. And it's an inconsistent group, like you said. And it's pick your poison, whoever. It could be anybody on any given play. And they have the capabilities individually at times to put together some Looney Tunes blooper reels out there on film. So, no doubt, that's an issue. That's a major issue. One that I don't think can be fixed this year at this point. So we'll just see how it impacts them as they get deeper into the season.
Cordell, we got to give a little credit to the special teams. I think the coverage units, like the gunners, they do an outstanding job. You know, I mean, they don't get blocked. They're covering, you know, and it's Martin and it's, Jackson, you know, and Keaton and stuff. So, I mean, the coverage units, to me, are playing really well right now.
I think we got to give more than a little credit. I mean, they essentially won them the game,
that's
honestly.
True. Yeah,
with the turnovers.
Fumble. Yep.
Yeah, the turnovers with a struggling offense for the most part of the day, consistently giving them short fields. I mean, the special teams hand in hand with the defense won them the game on Sunday, without a doubt. And I think that's why it seems like a lot of the offensive guys, they weren't too happy, it seems like, after the game. So, and rightfully so. They didn't play well as a whole. But, yeah, special teams, I mean, they got after it. They were it's like they smelled blood after that first fumble, and they just kept going after it. And the Vikings players, is like they tensed up. They didn't want to get hit. They didn't really want to touch the ball. They didn't want to have the ball. So, yeah, I mean, credit to them. They were all over the place. Obviously, the loop miss is the one thing that sticks out, but other than that, special teams is good.
Cordell Woodland, fresh take sports. Cordell, real quick, what is the Ravens record going to be, your prediction, of course, when the Steelers come here on December the 7th?
What is that? Is that week 16?
You got 17? Cleveland, New York, and Cincinnati in between.
Cleveland, New York, and Cincinnati.
New York Jets.
It doesn't matter. It could be
Yankees. It doesn't matter. And that's when they're back at home. They should be filling themselves. Hopefully that's not a dud. At least 2-1. At least 2-1. I would love to just say 3-0 and that they'll beat the Bengals, but I don't know. I don't even know about the Cleveland one, to be honest with you. I don't. I really don't. We've seen them go out there and lay an egg. It's what comes with playing a division rival. This defense is still really good in Cleveland, and they just have a formula they know how to make it tough on the Ravens. And the Ravens at times have shown if you can find a way to make it tough on them, that could just be enough to get them out of their game, to get them in their own head, and to get them kind of to beat themselves. So, I mean, I'm going to pick them to win Sunday, but between that, having two of the next three games be division games, you just don't know, but I'll say 2-1 at worst.
When's the next Fresh Take Sports, Cordell?
We'll be back next Friday from 6 to 8. So we'll have a lot to talk about by then, I'm sure. We'll see what happens between now and then. Hopefully the win streak continues to go. But, yeah, we'll see what else is on the docket at next Friday.
Have fun with Harbs today.
Appreciate it.
Here's Cordell Woodland, everybody. We'll come back. It's the Whip Around. What happened in the world of sports last night? Chris Knocke talked Maryland hoops. Terps win last night over Alcorn State. You got Marquette coming up. Of course, Buzz Williams, former coach there. Funhouse with Nolan McGraw. Get acquainted with him. News from the Nest coming up top of the hour. Buy or sell, where's the midweek money? And then Vinny's film breakdown of the Ravens offense. Why the red zone problems? We'll get into that at 12.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Up there.
Vinny and Haney's Whip Around.
Every sport.
Every game.
Everything.
Brought to you by Box Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. Best crab cakes in Maryland.
Time for the Whip Around here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. We've got a lot to get to, so we don't want to dilly-dally for sure. On the ice. Last night in the NHL, Vinny's former favorite team took on his new favorite team, and his former favorite team got the upper hand.
Turn and fire, rebound, score! There it is! Number 100 for Jacob Chychrun. The Caps lead by two.
Best power play of the year. I wanted it, and they delivered just 34 seconds.
Joe B. in the locker on the call. Monumental Sports Caps, who have been kind of mediocre this year.
Yeah.
Put it on the old Carolina Hurricanes 4-1 last night.
I tell you what, Bob, I thought the Caps played outstanding. To me, it's the best game they've had this season total. Best complete game. They were good on power play, you just heard. Scored on a power play. Played great on shorthand. And Logan Thompson was awesome in net. He had 31 saves. And he made some really big saves in that game. But I thought overall, Caps played really good. Ovi had an empty netter and had a real nice assist. So that was a very good win for the Caps on the road, because Carolina knocked the Caps out of the playoffs, four games to one, I think it was.
Round.
It was pretty easily. So that was, and it was in Carolina. So message sent by the Caps and played extremely well. So congrats to them. I didn't think they played well, but a lot of it had to do with what the Caps were doing.
Baseball honors last night. Orioles not really up for anything. When you finish last, that's kind of how it rolls. Pat Murphy, Brewers, and Stephen Vogt, Guardians, win Manager of the Year back-to-back.
Yeah, I texted Murph
last
night.
Both guys. First American League guy to do it since Kevin Cash did it for
Tampa
a few years ago. But Stephen Vogt. Hey, look, they were down 14 to the Tigers, came back and won the division. Pat Murphy, every offseason, the Brewers, he's been 2 years on the job, Manager of the Year twice, by the way, but every offseason, even when Council was there. When you subtract, Peralta could be available, and apparently they're looking to keep him around. But Pat Murphy, congratulations to him and to Stephen Vogt, who's not far removed from being an active player in Major League Baseball.
And Murph's got to be about 65, 66. And, I texted him last night. Congratulations, because that's a huge, huge deal.
Telling Peralta look good in an Oriole uniform. But it's Stephen Vogt. Hopefully some of that Manager of the Year stuff rubs off on Craig Albernaz, his sidekick there. Now the Orioles manager in college hoops last night. UMBC locally beat Morgan 81-79. Penn State beat Navy 80-71. New Jersey Institute of Technology beat Loyola. What the hell, man? 66-64. Towson, after giving Houston all they could handle, they beat Wilson 101-62. NBA last night of local interest with the local dudes. Toronto beat Brooklyn 119-109. Emmanuel Quickly, Baltimore 24-8-5 there. The Knicks beat Memphis 133-120. Speaking of Loyola, Santi Aldama, he had 19-7-3 for the Grizz. Cam Spencer had 11, both Greyhounds. But they lose. Jalen Brunson had 32 for New York. OKC beat Golden State 126-102. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Nolan's dude, 28-5-11. Aaron Wiggins, he's missing another game. Got an adductor strain. So Pat Spencer for Golden State, however, Cam's brother, another Loyola guy, boys Latin, he had 12. On the night for the Warriors, not enough. College football, the updated top 25 came out. I think the playoff seedings come out tomorrow, right, for the 1 through 12.
No, they did that last Tuesday night.
The rankings came out last night. Ohio State 1, Indiana 2, Texas A&M 3, Alabama 4, Georgia 5, BYU's at 12.
Notre Dame, I think, was 9.
Yeah. So I think the actual seeding, because you're going to have to get a non-Power 4 conference in there. to do their thing. But the rankings came out last night. It is what it is. This day in sports history. Today is November the 12th on this whip around. 25 years ago. They're unbelievable. I was watching this game with Eddie Peters, my buddy, brother from another. Grew up with him, now lives in Kansas City. Said Chiefs fans are a-holes, by the way. Unlike Ravens fans, we're all cool. Ravens beat Tennessee in a preview of the divisional round of the playoffs, 24-23. Trent Dilfer throws a touchdown pass to Patrick Johnson with 25 seconds left, which saved the day because 2 minutes earlier he threw a pick six to Perry Phoenix, which put the Ravens behind. And we were mother bleeping Trent Dilfer up and down that day. Then he throws the touchdown pass. And the Ravens, were the week before, finally broke their touchdown. They won five games without a touchdown. Then scored the week before to beat Cincinnati. Then beat Tennessee. But 25 years ago, Trent Dilfer earned the trust of his teammates after maybe costing them the game, winning the game on the road. And Tennessee that year was the number one seed in the AFC. They were the defending AFC champion. So, Trent Dilfer, you did your team a solid. It's unbelievable. It's 25 years ago, but that took place, one of the glorious days in Ravens history. Ravens will go on, of course, to win the Super Bowl. When we come back, we'll switch to college hoops. Maryland, that is. Chris Nockey, Maryland Radio Network. Maryland three games in. All right. Work in progress. Buzz Williams' first season. Marquette coming up Saturday at 2. You can hear it on the Fan. Then a funhouse trip with Mr. Electricity, Nolan McGraw. Even though he doesn't have his camera on him yet, he's still smiling from ear to ear.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us now to talk about the first three games of the season, how the rotations are coming together, and then look ahead to Marquette a little bit. Maryland Radio Network, you can hear him all game, all season long with The Wiz, and of course, Johnny Holliday's on the Window Nation guest hotline. Chris Nockey. Chris, good morning. How you feeling, dude?
Good, man. All good, Bob. How you guys been?
Good. Just living the dream, Chris, as you know. Yeah, you win by 20. I mean, you'll take it. I mean, well, Alcorn did make it interesting for a while there. You know, they were a winless team coming off an interesting schedule themselves. But you've seen Maryland. You had the exhibition game against UMBC, then the three regular season games. What do you make of the patterns and the, you know, Buzz trying to come up with the chemistry? I know Rice didn't play again last night. Payne's been a pain in the ass to opposition. But what about Buzz and just trying to figure out things at this very early stage of the season?
I think it probably applies to all of us, Bob. Just sure. We're all trying to figure it out, right? And, Buzz got the job a little bit at a disadvantage because he was 2 or 3 weeks late to the portal because of the way things unraveled, or the way things went at the end of the Kevin Willard tenure. So he did the best he could do. He brought in a bunch of guys. 4 or 5 of them came from Texas A&M with him, and that helps a little bit. But and they had some injuries early on. They expect to get a really key guy back, Solomon Washington, here in the next couple of weeks, I think. I think he's really going to help. But they're just very much a work in progress. And I think you see that from a lot of teams. A lot of folks out there reloaded. They're talking about 10, 11, 12 new guys in some cases. And And again, you're not going to necessarily come out of the shoot guns blazing. So they've got some work to do. I think they know that. I think they know where they've struggled and to a degree why they've struggled. And, you know, Buzz has won pretty much everywhere he's ever gone. I got to give him credit. And you got to believe that he's going to figure all this out as well.
Now, Darius Adams comes in, you know, big recruit, flippage from UConn, started on the point early, now playing off the ball. I guess, Chris, you know better than me, a former player and a coach yourself, probably where he's best suited. But what's the upside for this young man? And what drives me crazy, not to digress too much, he's the fourth highest rated recruit now. You ever heard of Moses Malone or Albert King or Tom McMillan? Anyway, but he's a good player. Is a boon for him to get him, but what do you think the upside is for him as a freshman, and how much is going to be on his plate as the season progresses?
Yeah, I think that, you know, he's got some guys who will take some of that off his plate. Yeah, you know, Miles Rice really showed against Georgetown that he can really play. Need to get him back and healthy and in the mix for every game. Darius is he's a talented kid. The biggest issue I have is that, you know, to a degree, college basketball has gotten older, you know, and you don't really, it's a great, great year for freshmen across the high levels of Division I. Darius just isn't there yet, like some of the other guys are, you know, Caleb Wilson from North Carolina there's some of these other guys who have really burst onto the scene. He's got to grow a little bit mentally and physically. I think this is sort of what you get with young guys sometimes. It looks like he gets really down on himself. You know, sometimes you need to see the ball go into the basket a little bit. It finally happened for him last night. He scored 10 points pretty much in a row at one point in time during the second half. And I think that's important. You know, a lot of these guys sort of ID themselves as scorers. You know, that's where all cheerleaders date scorers. They don't date defenders, you know? So I think they like to see themselves get numbers, and I think Darius is the same way.
Chris Nockey, Maryland Radio Network, Vinny and Haney, 105.7, the Fat Terps win last night by 20 over Alcorn State. Now you have Marquette coming up on Saturday. Get to that in a second. But, you know, Buzz, I mean, you've been through, obviously, Gary Land and the Turge, and Kevin Willard, not to compare them as coaches, but comparing them as personalities. Where's Buzz rating the old old personality department here?
Well, he is a personality. That sure. Is 100% for sure. He's a different breed, and I think it's refreshing to a degree. I don't know Buzz particularly well. Obviously, he hit the ground running here, and he's been running ever since, and trying to put together a program and do it all the right way. When you put it like that in the spectrum of guys that I've had the good fortune to work with and to watch, Buzz is unique. You know, he does things his own way. I like the way he runs practice. They're on point. They don't waste a whole lot of time. And I think he's just an interesting dude. And I could see why he's successful. I got to tell you, those guys, the guys on the team really buy in. I mean, you can watch them practice and you could feel it in the gym. There's nobody on the fence about Buzz on that team. And I think that's important, particularly as you're trying to build something and create a culture.
Now, Chris, you have Marquette coming up Saturday. They just got housed by Indiana, but again, early for everybody. What would you like to see happen with the team before they start conference play against Iowa in a couple of weeks here?
Yeah, I'd like to see way more consistency. And, you know, that's sort of every coach is after the Holy Grail, and that is just 40 minutes of consistent effort. You probably never get it. Yet you can always seek it. And this team really needs to play a much more even keel basketball. Last night, they were first 10 minutes, they were great. And then they started to play with their food a little bit, you know, in the last 10 minutes of the first half. And it's just not what you do in Division I basketball. You have a chance to put somebody away, you put them away. I think the consistency, fortunately, we're playing a Marquette team that doesn't have Cam Jones anymore. He tore up the Terps last night or last year at Xfinity. It's a young team. This Shaka and his staff only recruit freshmen. They don't do the portal thing. So, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to get better, get a marquee win if you're good enough, and let's play.
Hey, Chris, what do you think of, from what you've seen of the teams in the Big Ten thus far?
There's some good teams, man. Michigan is very good. Purdue, of course, is sort of consensus one or two. So you're going to have to deal with them. But I've been really impressed by some of the other teams that nobody was really expecting much of. Indiana, for one, you mentioned them having housed Marquette. Iowa is a really sound team. Illinois has gone the international route. Very good, very big. So it's another stacked league, and that's why it's really incumbent upon the Terps to get better and get better fast.
Chris Knocke, Maryland Radio Network. Chris, always great to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of your Woman Crush Wednesday, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks. All right. See you guys.
Thanks, Chris Knocke, everybody. Yeah, Michigan needed overtime to beat Wake Forest last night. Yeah. Wake Forest came back in the second half. Illinois beat Texas Tech. So a lot of good things going on in the Big Ten, which might not bode well for Buzz Williams, year one in College Park. When we come back, Nolan McGraw, how about a trip through the fun house, or at least talk to Nolan, getting you ready for news from the Nest coming up at noon. Buy or sell, where's the midweek money? Hopefully count that. And talking sports at 12:15. And Vinny's film breakdown of the Ravens offense. They put 27 on the board, but really struggled inside the red zone. Why? Jair Alexander walking away from football today. He was placed on the reserve retired list. Former Terp Ja'Quarian Bennett was called off the went back from the injured list. He got hurt in, I think, week two or three. And they got him from the Chargers in a trade in the offseason or early in the year. But Jair Alexander, Ravens got him. He was a fancy name. And, of course, when your team gets a fancy name, everybody thinks that player is going to be what he was when he was an all-pro. Well, Green Bay got rid of him for a reason, money aspect. He's been banged up, was hurt here, right? Missed a month at training camp. Played in the opener, did not play well against Buffalo.
Yep.
But Alexander, citing, recharge the batteries, get healthy, and clear the old brain up a little bit. Shutting her down.
Well, I'm guessing.
Good for him. Hope it get better, man.
Career may be shut down. I mean, Bob, when he came in, started training camp, he was good for about three or four days. You know, I mean, he was taking every rep. He was playing man coverage. You know, playing to the fans, the whole deal. And then he was gone. And he really hadn't been back ever.
His knee drained.
Yeah, he was getting the knee drained. And then they were protecting him and trying to get him right. And so, I mean, I'm guessing, you know, a lot of the same stuff that went on in Philly, Bob, probably was going on here. And that's why he wasn't active.
So, Ja'Quarian Bennett, he's going to be up and running for the Eagles, and just wish Jair Alexander all the best of luck.
Yep.
I mean, if there's some things going on in the dome, get that all straightened out. You got some dough. And if you can revive your career, so be it, but take care of yourself. Nolan, how you doing over there?
I'm feeling just fine over here. Quick housekeeping. I'm going to keep doing this until everyone's annoyed with it, but that's the whole purpose.
I'm already annoyed with it.
Good. Good. That's the purpose. Go to YouTube right now. 105.7 The Fan Baltimore is the name of the page. We are streaming live. Every show is streaming live. The morning show, us, the afternoon show. You can watch it straight through for 12 hours if you so feel like. Hop in the live chat. Join the conversation. There's people hanging out there that want to talk Baltimore sports. Heck, I'll even hop in there and talk to you if you want. But it's a big community here. It's another platform to view the show and can see all of our faces, and yes, even me, coming soon.
Now, could we say that with the chat platform, that will become part of the fun house as well?
Yes.
Not necessarily text-related?
Right. Yeah, if you got
it's
something good there.
Part of it,
you don't have to text the 410-583-1057. You put it in there. I'm reading it. I'm always reading it.
Now, but you can plot sport text line, of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, our buddy, Mel Kiper, he called me this morning. He said, you guys are on YouTube. I'm going to watch today.
There you go.
Hello, Mel.
Big endorsement.
Mel, what's up, Mel?
Sorry about all this over here.
Said he had a bone to pick with Nolan.
He says, tell Nolan
I got a bone to pick with him. What was it, Nolan?
I was stunned to hear this. So
yes,
in my update yesterday, we were talking about the Eagles and the Green Bay game from Monday night.
Yes.
And I believe I used the term snooze fest.
Yes, he did.
To refer to a 10-7 game. I think that's totally fair.
No, I'm 100% in agreement.
Mel was very upset. He said that's like a 1-0 pitcher's duel. He said it was a great defensive battle.
Yeah, right.
Well, a punter's duel. That's what it was.
I didn't see no.
I mean, look, strong defensive play. We here in Baltimore.
I'm drooling all over myself, Mel.
We can appreciate strong defense more than anyone in Baltimore. But what we saw on Monday night, I mean, a couple forced fumbles, sure, but I mean, it's just punt after punt after punt. It's a primetime game, for God's sake. And if I'm not a Green Bay fan, I'm not an Eagles fan, I am literally being put to sleep.
So how would Mel classify last Thursday 10-7 Raiders Broncos game?
Oh, that was a sleep fest.
Yeah, there you go.
1 o'clock on a Sunday, tolerable.
Yeah.
Prime time.
I mean, like the 9:30 in the morning game, if all the games would have been like that, that would have been awesome. Bob, the 4 o'clock games, they all sucked.
They were blowouts.
Yeah,
the best game of the day was the Colts in the morning, Atlanta. Yeah. Over in Berlin, Germany. So, Nolan, what else is on your mind there?
We get away from the good. We do have to hop into some of the bad here. And Maryland basketball. Look, I know Bob said it, and he is right. You know, it's still way too early.
And am I not right?
We could do a whole show. Yeah.
I'm sure your wife would have many answers.
Pretty much 90% of the people I know would say, you're always right.
Easy now.
Yeah.
It is early. We understand that. But I'm growing very concerned with the makeup of the team, and particularly the big talking point, the three-point shooting. We're three games in. You know, you can play sloppy. You know, I think about how they started against Georgetown, just very frantic, loose balls, guys just looking like they're panicking live on the court. I can understand that for a team without chemistry. But three-point shooting, either you have it or you don't. And it was just 2 years ago that what could have been actually a pretty decent Maryland team was extremely held back by their lack of three-point shooting. We talked about 28% on the year. That can't happen. And what made it even more infuriating is that they were a really good defensive team that year, finished close to 500, just a hair under 500. So again, you're thinking about if you were just somewhat competent from three, what that year could have looked like. And from the fan experience watching it, I just don't want to go through what we went through 2 years ago, where you're trying to convince yourself all year long, if we just get a little better from three, the defense is going to carry us. It's such a miserable way to watch your college basketball team. And in the end, you end up getting to March and, we got to go on a run in the conference tournament just to get in. And you spent the whole year saying, well, what if, what if, what if? I don't want to be saying what if this year. If they're going to be bad, just it is what it is. But I need to see something this year. I need to see some sort of growth from here through the end of the year. And I'm sorry, the three-point shooting, I just don't know where it's going to come from.
Well, they hit a few late against Alcorn State. But 2 years ago, that team, Jameer Young's last year, remember Willard broke out stats, said we have had, they were in like the top 10 percentile good in getting open looks. They just couldn't hit shots.
Right.
They couldn't make their shots. I don't see any Steph Currys on this year's team. Or no, Seldon Miguel, for that matter. A guy that could get hot, or Rodney Rice, or somebody like that, Gillespie, because they could go on heaters. I don't see that guy yet. But I think it's way too early to get into absolutes about them being also-rans in the month of March. Let's get through November first. And you got Marquette coming up on Saturday, and they got blown out by Indiana, who was making a ton of threes, by the way, in that game. Just, I'm pumped. We got enough to worry about in other, I mean, the Terp football. Hey, when they were 4-0, they were the greatest thing since sliced bread. Now the coach might get fired. Orioles, who knows what they, and I disagree with Ray. Orioles do need another thumper in the middle of the lineup, and they need a pitcher or two in the rotation. I wouldn't mind that Mitch Keller, by the way. We'll get into that because Rakabaka wrote about it this morning. Pittsburgh, because you're not getting Paul Skeens.
No.
That's not happening. They're not trading. They basically, that's great. Yeah. That's nice. That's interesting. Yeah, we're not trading him. I mean, at Ravens, I mean, you're not even at 500 yet, even though we're starting to flow that purple Kool-Aid. There's plenty of other things to bitch about, Nolan, that's starting to worry about Maryland basketball yet. Now, they lose by 30 to Marquette. I might be running hot with you on Monday.
Well, hasn't that kind of been the whole year for us? You know, it's been one disappointment after another. Now, the Ravens have turned it around. I mean, they could be our savior here. We'll see. But for a second there, you're right. We were saying, well, geez, if Maryland basketball is below expectations, which we really didn't even know what the expectations were to begin with, we could be in for an all-time bad year here. Remains to be seen. I'm with you. But I would say at minimum, by the time you get to conference play, if you're not going to be a good three-point shooting team, you have to at least know what your identity is and not be a team that's jacking up three after three after three, knowing that you can't hit them. Adjust somehow. Pharrell Payne's legit. He's the real deal. Can we get some complimentary pieces, some complimentary basketball?
What, are they going to start quadrupling him when it's all said and done? But early in the season, this calendar year, Maryland basketball was, they made the Sweet 16, kind of the high point of the season, because the Orioles finished last. Maryland football, again, we dove into that one many times. And then the Ravens are still below 500. Let's get to 500 first, even though they better be 7-5 by the time they take the Steelers on December 7th. Is that fair enough?
Yes.
I think that's fair enough.
All right. We'll come back. News from the Nest. Hear more from John Harbaugh. Get your phone calls you want to get in at 410-583-1057. Your commentary on the Ravens. They are still just 4-5. Cleveland's going to be an interesting game. It always is. There. Should they be? If they're not 7-5, what Cordell say? 2-1? That will put them at 6-5?
Yeah. Then you got to win both Pittsburgh games. You'd have to win both. Then you got to win both Pittsburgh.
7-5 sounds like 14-0 compared to 6-6.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.